So I sat down yesterday morning and I read that gospel lesson and I did some research and I said, no thanks. I can't do that this week. And then I thought, oh, maybe the Old Testament text is better. And then I read that one and said, no, thank you. So I have no sermon for you today. But I have been gone for more than 2 weeks, and I have ample to fill you in on. So that is my plan. The last time I saw you, well, most of you, was, I guess, whatever day it was, August 15th, something like that. The next day, bright and early, we got on a bus. Wesley and I got on a bus with about 40 youth and about 6 leaders, and we started driving, and we made it all the way to Prince Edward Island in 2 days. About 11-hour days, and we had a great time. We had a really good time in Prince Edward Island. I may have had possibly the most well-behaved home team possible. I'm not sure if Wes or Tori or Olivia would misbehave if you paid them to. I didn't try. But I had really fantastic youth with me, and we had the opportunity to have many experiences together. There's something about living in community, for good and ill, right? We did everything just about together. Every clay gathering, every youth gathering is different. From the organizing committee, right, to the plans, to the speaker, to the kids who show up. Every experience is different. And this certainly was no different. For the first time in Lutheran youth gathering history, we had some real serious issues with the keynote speaker. So the gathering starts, I guess actually it started Wednesday night this time, but usually it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. By Friday, our keynote speaker had been accused of plagiarism. And that's a very serious something. He is local to Kitchener-Waterloo. He is a Lutheran pastor. And I suspect that will have some effect on him for quite a while. This probably will affect the trajectory of his career, I would think. And I don't know whether it changes everything for you in your daily life, but I think that it does for me. This accusation was then, in a subsequent talk that he did then, because he lost the faith of the people at the beginning, then he was held to an even higher standard. And then other things that he did were called into question. And it was a really tough go for him. He ended up leaving the gathering early, which has never happened. It led to many a conversation, which certainly are not done. Conversations between my colleagues and myself about just how far we need to go weekly in our own sermons, right? I stand up here every week and I talk to you after having consulted many sources. And very often I will say to you, so-and-so said this or made me think about this. But now I am questioning whether I do that enough. Right? That's a real take home. The other thing that this kind of gave us, which you could never do without some kind of something like this, is that it afforded myself and other people who were there an opportunity to teach our young people about what grace really means, right? We hold pastors to a very high standard, but the truth is that we are people, and we make mistakes, right? And this man did. He made a big mistake. He messed up. But at the end of the day, we are Lutherans, and we believe in grace, and we believe in forgiveness. And while what he did was wrong, he's still my brother, right? He's still another member of the community of clergy, right? And I recognize that I could just as easily make a mistake. And these kids, I'll tell you, as you may have noticed in your messenger, one of the things that I perhaps learned or was well reminded of is that no one will nail you faster than a teenager will. God bless this keynote speaker. His first talk was encouraging the youth present to find their own voice. And then in the next talk, he plagiarized. And our own youth who were traveling with us looked at us and said, "How do you want me to find my voice when he hasn't even found his? He's not using his." And she was right. She was really right. But therein lies the lesson, right? That we don't even have it all figured out. And that grace is real. And that grace is hard work sometimes. But I don't earn my forgiveness any more than my brother has. So that was very interesting. Certainly no one could have predicted when we were on our way out to Prince Edward Island that which would have happened, but it did. So, as much as it wasn't what we expected, it was a very rich learning experience, I think, for the young people present as well as for those leaders who were present as well. So we got through clay and we came home, and I got off a bus and I spent, I think, like a full 3 days doing laundry between what my family had created and what I had created. So I did huge amounts of laundry and some work and some planning, because didn't I turn around and I went from a tour bus to a cabin. So I went to camp, and we had a few kids at camp. And that was a whole other full experience, right? At camp, we talked about reconciliation, which is a very big word for confirmation-aged kids. I think it's a big word for me. So we also used the word refriending. We talked about refriending, how much God always wants to refriend us, and we talked about reconciliation with each other, with other people, and we talked about reconciliation with God's creation. So there was lots and lots and lots to talk about at camp. We had a really good week at camp. The Edward facilities continue to need, to say DLC probably is not quite to get there. But the week at camp was good. I had two young people from Baden it was their first year at camp, and they loved it and can't wait to go back. And I had a couple of people who were there for the second time. Jesse was one of them. And I think that Jessica had a very good week at camp, right? We had a couple of laughs together, didn't we, Jesse? Just a couple. But we are not going to tell you about that. Jessica now knows things about me that shall not be aired on the internet, let's say. And we had Wesley with us at camp, who was a camp counselor for the first time. And I would do a grave injustice if I did not tell you how deeply and unbelievably proud I was of Wesley, who took a really tough situation, that he was dealt, and he turned it around better than I would have ever anticipated or expected or even hoped. That's incredible. I just was so, so proud of Wesley. And what an incredible gift for me to be able to be perhaps a little part of it, but mostly to witness it, to see Wes in a week grow in ways that I could not have imagined. He's sitting there looking at me pretty humbly, but I would encourage you to have a conversation with Wesley and to congratulate him and to encourage him. To encourage him to go back again and to keep on growing. Because Wesley isn't our future, right? Wesley is our now, and we're pretty lucky, right? If our future and our now is kids like Wes and Jesse and the other kids that I took, we're going to be fine. We might not look exactly the way we look now, but we're going to be fine. We're in good hands. Trust me. So, I am tired. Like, have a newborn baby tired. I am so tired, I can hardly describe it. But I am good. My heart is full. Filled with hope and faith and love for these young people. So I'm glad for what I do, for the time that I took. It was absolutely worthy of my time and attention. So I'm back now, and September begins, and we have all kinds of exciting stuff on the horizon. And I will get to all of that after I have another nap.